Hello there and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today it's July the 14th and I'm glad to be with you here on the program. You know, as I was at Daily Mass today, listening to the readings, the very first, and this is the really cool thing about how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. You know, I try to get, especially with the emails that I send out, my daily email devotional, and even on the program, I try to get a message from the readings, especially the Daily Mass readings, so that I can talk about them. I don't always use them on the show, but a lot of times I do. So at Mass today, as I was listening to the first reading, what really hit me was the very last line of the first reading. And it's this, I should say this, it is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the very last line of the reading says this, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Isn't that good? Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. And I got to thinking, you know, I don't know if you've checked it out lately, but if you look at the different news stories that are circulating, and you know, I check a number of different websites out to try to get an idea. I do not obsess over the news because most of it's not good nowadays. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you need me to tell you that. But I don't go crazy with it. But I like to be somewhat informed. Looking on the various sites today, man, not much of it is pretty good. Not much of it is good. I mean, most of it is pretty bad. But here's the thing, and this is why this particular line really spoke to my heart today. And listen, I'm not here to discourage you because this is a good story. This show's all about the good news. I don't do bad news on this program because the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's good news. It's not bad news. And we really need to focus on him. So as I listen to these stories, and you know, some of the so many of the news sites are biased. I mean, they have completely different positions. You get different stories on each one depending on what the mindset is, whether it's a liberal site or a conservative site. And, you know, I really don't like to use those terms, but you know what I'm talking about. So everybody's got their own slant. But it's all bad. And if you didn't know better, and I hope you do know better, and if you don't, you came to the right place because I'm going to teach you that you should know better. If you did not know better, you would think that the world was spiraling out of control, that everything is falling apart, and that God has just taken a vacation or he's just not in charge anymore, none of which is true. And you could easily become hopeless. So I would just say this, if you are feeling a little hopeless today, or even if you're discouraged, maybe not full-blown hopelessness, maybe a little discouraged, maybe sad, I want you to remember something. God is still on the throne. He's still in charge, and that is not just a nice saying. That is absolutely true. And this line from the book of the prophet Isaiah is so important. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. It's Isaiah 7, verse 9. Isaiah 7, verse 9. Unless you have a strong faith in the Lord, unless you really know him, and really understand what he can do and how he loves you and that he's in charge of everything. Unless you get that, you're going to find yourself becoming hopeless in a hurry. We're going to talk about that on the show. I'll share the gospel with you today because I think there's an important message from Jesus that really does tie into that idea of our faith being strong. We have to be selective. And in no way am I saying ignore what's going on. I am not saying that. I am saying focus on the truth of Jesus Christ, the true gospel that he came to earth to proclaim, to focus on that message instead of letting yourself get bogged down with all of the doom and gloom. Because you know what? Jesus came for you to have life and have it abundantly. That's John 10:10. He came so that you don't have to be discouraged. So that you don't have to be downcast, so that you don't have to be sad, that you don't have to be overwhelmed with anxiety or fear of the future. Jesus took those things to the cross, and he wants you to live a life of joy and peace. That's what he wants. It does not mean you'll never have to suffer, But it means in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of the difficulties, you can find joy. And the joy comes from a relationship with Christ. And Christ will lead you to the Father. And you will begin to have a relationship with your Father in heaven. And Jesus also gave you the Holy Spirit. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, he's got a few, but one of them is to turn you into another Jesus. And another of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to make Jesus real to you. So that's what the Holy Spirit is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He turns you into Jesus, and he makes Jesus real to you. We're in good shape if we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. If we surrender our lives to Christ, we walk with him each day, we're in good shape. And the more we focus on that. If you're going to dwell on something, dwell on the gospel, dwell on Jesus. You know what? That's what I do. I really do. I am really, and I'm going to be honest, I am very peaceful at the moment. Even though everywhere I look, I'm not seeing promising news. And, you know, it's mainly coronavirus related, but there's many other things going on. A lot of division, which really makes me sad. People hating one another. Everybody's got bad things to say. I mean, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people do. And it really brings me down. So that's why I tend to focus on Jesus more than on the negative stuff. And I try to make a difference in the world. I'm praying that I am. From what many of you have told me, I believe I am. And I'm going to stay positive. And it's because we have hope as long as we walk with Jesus, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about on this show. So there, that's one heck of a long introduction, but I just got started and I kept going. Hey, let's pray, and I'm going to share some news with you. Then we're going to hit the readings, okay? Sound good? I was going to just explain that in a few words, but you never know with old Gary what he's going to do. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, you are the creator of the universe. Father, you are almighty. You are all loving. You are all present. Wherever we go, you are there. Wherever we look, we see evidence of your love. Father, you created us out of nothing so that we can be in a relationship with you. You sent your Son Jesus to earth to make us your adopted children, your adopted sons and daughters, so that we can cry out, Abba, Father, just as Jesus did, and address you with that very familiar and loving name of Abba, that very close name for Father. And Father, that is a real privilege, and we thank you for that. Father, as we look around, as we look over our lives, the history of our lives, we realize how many times you have taken care of us. The fact that we're alive up until this point in time indicates that you did provide for all of our needs, just as Jesus said you would. So we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for giving us air to breathe. We thank you, Father, for providing Jesus, for providing the Holy Spirit, for allowing us to be in a relationship with you. Father, we ask that you lead us, that you guide us, and inspire us with the desire and the knowledge to always do your will. May your will be done in our lives, and that means when things happen, if we're saying your will be done, then we shouldn't complain. We're sorry if we have. We will try our best to not complain in the future, knowing that if anything happens to us, good or bad, it's an expression of your love. Father, we pray for those affected in any way by the coronavirus. Please help them alleviate their suffering, whether they're suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. We especially pray today, Father, for the homeless, the homebound, those in prisons or hospitals, those who are just living alone and are isolated. Please comfort them, protect them, and fill them with your joy and your peace. Father, we pray for our church. We pray for our country, the United States, all of our leaders. We pray, Father, for all who are sick from any disease, any ailment, and we pray that they be healed as soon as possible. Father, I pray for a special outpouring of your Spirit today. May it descend upon me. Give me the words so that I can speak the message that you have for us today. And please open all of our hearts through the working of your Holy Spirit so that we can hear and respond to your message. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. Thanks so much for praying with me. Here's what I wanted to tell you before the prayer. And it's so funny because I didn't realize this until sometime yesterday. If you're interested, I am the guest of Johnette Benkovic on Women of Grace all this week. Johnette Benkovic Williams, now that she got married. I'm her guest on Women of Grace all this week on EWTN television. It's a repeat of a show that we did in 2016, so it's a few years old. And I'm talking about my book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will, and the whole series that we did. And I always loved when I got to be on with Johnette. I think I did three series with her. She and I, we just seemed to click on air. She was a great interviewer, and I really miss being down at EWTN. I haven't been there in quite a while, and especially with the pandemic, it's not happening anytime soon. But you can catch me on Women of Grace all this week talking about how to know God's will. And if you have any questions about that, I really would suggest that you pick up a copy of my book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will. The book grew out of my real desire to go into full-time ministry. That was something that really didn't make any sense to me at the time because I was working in the software industry, but I just kept feeling that call that I should be doing it. So the book is really my experience trying to discern, Lord, what do you want me to do? Are you really telling me to do this? You know, sometimes he asks you to do some crazy things, and you don't want to just go off without discerning this properly. You just don't want to jump off the cliff without making sure it's really him calling you to do it. So if you're interested, Faith, Hope, and Clarity is the name of my book. It's available from Franciscan Media, and it just may help you. But if you get a chance, check out the series with Johnette. Also, tomorrow, Wednesday morning at 6:35 a.m., I will be doing my weekly segment on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. So you might want to check that out as well. It's our Stop Worrying and Start Living segment. I'll feature a Bible verse, and Matt Swaim and I will talk about that Bible verse. Okay, so that's coming up as well. So that's it for the news. By the way, I put a link on my website, followingthetruth.com. I did mention that I have a new book coming out in early October. The book is Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. That book can be pre-ordered from Amazon, and I made it a point. I finally put the link on my website, followingthetruth.com. So if you just go to the books drop-down, you can now get sent directly to Amazon and pre-order the book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. And since Give Up Worry for Lent has sold out the past 2 years, you might want to make sure you get a copy if you're interested. The book's about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And literally, we talk about letting go of anger and stress and all of those other things that you want to get rid of in your life. The Holy Spirit can help you with that. So check out followingthetruth.com for more information. You'll be hearing more about the book in the very near future. So remember I told you I'm at Mass today, and the very last line of the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 9, is, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Unless you have a firm faith in Almighty God and Jesus Christ, his Son, unless that happens, you're going to stumble, because the news today is really bad. And I'm not talking today. I'm talking in general today. It can easily suck you in and destroy your peace if you don't have a firm faith and belief that God is in charge. And it doesn't sound to me like it's getting any better anytime soon. And, you know, even if it does get a little better, the media does like to hype up stories to try to scare you. Have a strong faith in God. Know that he loves you. Know that he created you. Know that he sent his son Jesus. And that's how you can counter all the bad news that we get surrounded with on a daily basis. What's so funny, actually it's not funny, it's kind of sad, is that we tend to believe the bad news more than we tend to believe the good news. Because the bad news seems more real, doesn't it? It's real. You could see pictures. You can see videos. But when it comes to the gospel and listening to Jesus, you don't see any video. You don't see photos. So he's a little hard, a little more difficult to believe. I mean, you can admit it. It's true. So that's where we really have to work on that relationship with him. You know, and I find that receiving him in Holy Communion every day, if at all possible, spending time with him in prayer, reading scripture, that makes him more real, as does the Holy Spirit. You know, you can ask the Holy Spirit to help make Jesus real to you. And then it's easier to believe what he has to say. But we have to have a firm faith. We got to be firmly, our eyes have to be firmly fixed on God and in Jesus in order for us to really be able to withstand the onslaught of negative news that we're going to be bombarded with, that we are bombarded with on a daily basis. And the psalm today, the gospel acclamation today, which is the verse that's read right before the gospel at daily mass, comes from Psalm 95, verse 8. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And I think that's such a critical verse and a great message, because you're going to hear his voice. I'm going to read the gospel in a minute. And we heard that line from Isaiah, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Remember that all of sacred scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is speaking through the Bible. If today you hear his voice, and you just did, and you will, harden not your hearts. It's really easy for us to harden our hearts and to say, well, this faith business, it's nice, it makes me feel good, but it's not factual or it's not real. You know, faith is not something that is based upon proof or evidence. I mean, there's evidence involved, but it's not a hard, cold fact. Faith requires you to trust a little bit. If you see me in front of you, and you can touch me and feel me, you don't have to have faith to believe that I'm alive. But if you didn't have that opportunity to see me in the flesh, you hear me on the radio, so you believe it, that I'm alive, but you know, it would be possible that I can be some fictional character, especially if you read my books. Like, does this Gary Zimak character really exist? But, you know, you saw me on TV, and I guess this is a really silly example, isn't it? That's what I get. That's what I get for trying to come up with a real example. But what I'm saying is faith requires some element of trust. And it's not just crossing your fingers or hoping for the best. It's a gift that's given to us when we're baptized. We first receive the gift of faith. Faith enables us to believe the truth that God has revealed, the truths that God has revealed. And some of them are pretty challenging. But faith is not only the ability to believe, it's the act of believing. So we're called to make an act of faith. So I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is real. Therefore, as an act of faith, I sometimes step out of the boat to follow him. I do things based on my belief that Jesus is real and he exists and he loves me. That's what faith's all about. Faith allows me to pray even when I'm hearing that a particular situation on TV, you know, through the news, I'm hearing it's hopeless. faith allows me to believe and to trust that with God, all things are possible. So you got to have that firm faith. Otherwise, you're going to be falling all over the place. I want you to hear the gospel, because we got some tough talk from Jesus today. And I think we need to hear this. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. And you know me, I give it to you straight. This show is all good news, but sometimes Jesus says things, even though it's good news, that hurt a little bit, that are challenging. We need that, because it is good news. The good news is Jesus Christ came. He took on flesh. He died for our sins. He died so that we wouldn't have to worry. He died so that we would be assured that if we follow him, we will end up in heaven. That's good news. But along the way, he has to say a few things that challenge us, that stretch us. Because he doesn't want us to stay where we are when it comes to our relationship with him and our faith. He wants us to grow. Okay, so Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Now, right there, that very first sentence. Jesus did many of his mighty deeds in these towns. Chorazin, Bethsaida, that's what he's going to say. The people weren't repenting. They were seeing him. They were watching what he was doing. They were seeing the miracles. They were listening to his words. And yet they were still not willing to repent and to follow him. Does that sound familiar? Because look, we have read about these miracles. We have probably seen, if you look hard enough, I guarantee you will have seen miracles and great things that the Lord has done in your life. You can start with the fact you were born. And there are many other things. And we do the same thing. Are we repenting? Are we believing? Or are we believing the news sources who are telling us nothing but gloom and doom? There is no hope. It's not ever what Jesus says. Woe to you, Chorazin, Jesus said. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Ouch, right? That's pretty nasty. But we need to hear it. We need to hear it. Christ didn't die on the cross just because he was looking for something to do. He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, so that we could one day live with him in heaven. But what's required from us is that we follow him, that we repent, that we surrender our lives to him, that we recognize him as our Lord and as our Savior. That's what's required. Are you willing to do that? This Sunday, I had already pre-recorded my weekly program, The Gary Zimak Show, where I look at the Sunday Mass readings. And the theme this Sunday, wait till you hear, it's all about mercy and forgiveness and repentance now. You know, Jesus gives us many chances. He's really patient with us. He repeatedly is willing to forgive our sins. But what we got to be careful about, and this is what I'll say on the weekly show, is that we don't put it off. We don't put off the repentance thinking, well, I have time. I've got plenty of time to do that in the future. We never know when this world is going to come to an end. We never know when our lives are going to come to an end. So what we need to do is today. You know, we can't focus on the past because it's gone. we can't focus on, or we shouldn't focus on the future because we don't know if it'll be here. But in terms of following Jesus, surrendering our lives to him, today is the day to do that. And I would encourage you to do that today if you have not done so. I encourage you to repent of your sins, to acknowledge you're a sinner, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and surrender your life to him. And from today on, you follow his lead. And if it's been a long time, you get back to church and you start following him. That's what repentance is. It's the Greek word is metanoia. It's a change. It's an internal change. Thinking differently. That's what metanoia is. That's what repentance is. And we need to think differently. One of the things that you'll see as you begin to think differently and follow Jesus and believe in his words is that things will not seem so hopeless anymore. And you'll be able to withstand the bad news that you hear and read about every day. So I encourage you to do that today. Make that decision. Repent, seek Jesus, surrender your life to him, and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if it's been a long time since you've been to confession, make sure you do that. Make sure you get back to the sacrament of confession and confess your sins. You're going to feel a whole lot better if you do that. All right? Hey, listen, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm going to run in just a few minutes, but I want to thank you for hanging out with me. Again, don't forget the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time when I chat with Matt Swaim about a Bible verse designed to ease your anxieties. Also, check out followingthetruth.com, which is my website. If you're able to make a donation to keep my ministry going, I would really appreciate that. Thank you for listening. You are in my prayers. I hope you know that. And I would ask you to please pray for me and my family. And I really hope that we can get together and do this again tomorrow. I'm going to be here, God willing, and I hope you'll be able to as well. Thanks so much for listening. You really mean a lot to me. I'm so grateful for you. And I look forward to being with you next time on Following the Truth. See ya.